All right, well, we're in Proverbs chapter 15, and excuse me. And we're going through a series called Lessons from My Father, and Proverbs is basically a book that's, it's a part of what they call the Book of Wisdom, and it's written by Solomon, the things that he learned from his father David. Really, which came from the hand of God. And there are a little sayings that are, when you think about it and you meditate, it's packed full of wisdom. But in today's study, we're going to learn about speech that honors God. Have you guys heard about the wildfires that were happening in California? Was about a week ago? I mean, it was a devastating fires in different parts of California, you know, costing in the billions of dollars. That's a one with nine zeros behind it. That is a lot of money. And some people have died from it. And one of the fires was discovered by some kids. They said they were playing with matches. I mean, how would you like to be responsible for all that kind of mess? I certainly wouldn't. But you know what's interesting is that the Bible says the tongue is like a fire. It could cause great damage. And so we're going to talk about a little bit about language today. And let me ask you a question. But you know what? Before we start, how about if we take this study up to God? Okay? Well, Father, we thank you and we praise you. And you are interested in our language because it reveals what's in our hearts. And Father, I pray that you would have the preeminence in this study, that you would capture my tongue and you would capture our ears, and we would learn, and more than just learn, but be transformed by your words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I asked, why would God be interested in language? Ding-a-ding-a-ding. Good answer. Perfect answer. It reveals who you are. You know, if you hang out with me, you'll probably discover that I like sports. You'll discover I love God. You'll discover I love my family. You'll learn bits and pieces about me. Especially if you've been coming to my class, you probably, you know, kind of got a sketch of what I'm about because of the things that I talk about. And that's true. And so, as you said, language basically reveals the contents of the heart and mind of a person. And language can be medicine or it could be missiles. It could be a missile loaded with lethal verbs and adjectives that could be remembered for a lifetime. Do you guys remember things that was told to you a long time ago? They could be hurtful things or they could be good things. I mean, I remember things when I was your age of, you know, people saying certain things, and it sticks in your heart and it sticks in your mind. And so language is important to God and how we use it. God desires our language to be medicine that brings love and truth as a healing balm of life to others. So we need to be careful how we use our words. So before we get into our Proverbs, the Apostle James describes language as this, and you don't have to turn there. He writes, "If anyone does not stumble in the word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great sayings. See how great a forest fire a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. A tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets to fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and birds of reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is unruly, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. And so here, that tongue, this tongue could be really mess things up, huh? Have you ever said something you regretted? You get mad at your brother or sister or your parents, and you go, blah, 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 and you're going, oh, I wish I didn't say that. Or the opposite was said to you. Somebody said something hurtful to you, and you remember those words. So language is important. So in our study, we're going to look at three observations. The tongue is a tree of life, and we're going to also look at our tongue is to honor God, and thirdly, our tongue should be used can be used to our well-blessing and blessing. Let's look at verse 1. It's in the middle if you're not there. Chapter 15. and we're going to kind of bounce around in this chapter. Excuse me. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise use knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pour forth foolishness. Verse 4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perversiveness breaks the spirit. Verse 7, the lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the fool does not do so. Now, verse 28, the heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. First, our tongues are used to control our attitude in others. Look at verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath. What is your reaction when somebody yells at you?
Sometimes it can be to yell back.
You want to yell back. You're disturbed. You're angry. You're offended, right? It's like you get on edge. And here God says, a soft answer turns away wrath. What is your reaction when somebody speaks to you in lower, gentler tones? Go ahead.
Well, normally it's to be kind to them because
they're being nice to you. Right. And, you know, even if you mess up at home and, you know, it, like let's say me, I'm dad and my kids say I'm grumpy. Can you believe that? They say I'm grumpy. And I said, I'm only grumpy because you're not doing what I'm saying. Asking you. If you want me happy, do it. But if I go and I say, go clean up your room and yell, they're going to be upset. But if I controlled in my language, controlled in my speech and said, would you please go clean up your room? They're going to be not on edge. And you can control somebody's attitude by the tone and by the way that you speak to them, right? I think every one of us should be treated with a level of dignity. And I think we all want to be treated that way, but we must first treat others that way. I've known, you know, the many years that I've lived, I've seen people use language in many not constructive ways. They'll cuss at you, cuss you out. And I don't know if any of you have ever been cussed out. Well, that's not productive. That's hurtful. But, you know, also, on the other hand, we also got to have a tough skin, right? As Christians, we got to have a tough layer of skin, but still be soft inside. And so we got to be able to learn to filter out the stuff that's hurtful, but also if it's from your parents and it's instruction, learn the heart of instruction instead of shutting down. But we should be careful how we use our tongues, because we control the we can control our attitudes and others. And so we got to learn to use our tongue rightly. And, you know, knowing when to speak is an art. Look at verse 2. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of the fool pours forth foolishly. Learning when to speak. See, I have a problem because you know what my problem is? I like to talk. And, you know, and sometimes I have to tell myself to shut up. And, you know, and sometimes we have to learn to know when to speak, when to say something, when to speak up. And so that's an art. And so God wants us to learn how to speak and how to say it in a wholesome manner. And as notice it in verse 4, it says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perversiveness in it breaks the spirit. See, a wholesome tongue builds, it gives life, it's edifying. So we need to learn when to say and when to speak, but also how to do it. That's important. I think the greatest challenge for you guys is with your brothers and sisters, right? With other siblings. Because with other siblings, you know, it's carte blanche, man. You know, your sister or brother messes up, right? Yeah, I have brothers and sisters, I know. You know, when I was a kid, if I could, I probably would have killed my brother. You know, I mean, he said, you had a temper problem. Yeah, I did. But I was the youngest, and he was bigger than I was, and he picked on me. But we got to learn to use our language. I see it with my daughters when they fight, you know, learning when to say something. You know, are any of you guys tattletales? Always telling on the other one right away? Or you think you're the parent of your brother or sister? Do you guys do that? Well, learn to do it with discernment. I think, yes, you should. If your brother or sister is doing something that's detrimental to their life, health, and their spirituality, yes, you need to let your parents know. But don't be nitpicky. Tell them on for every little thing. They ate the last cookie, you know. That's learning when to say something, when to speak. Because as a parent, it's like, give me a break. Quit micromanaging your brother or sister, you know. I don't want to have to, oh, you're wrong, you're right, you're wrong, you know. There's more important things to do for a dad to do, like watch football than try to mediate all this stuff. Just kidding. But yeah, learn when to speak. look at verse 7. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge. Again, it's learning how to speak, learning when to speak, how to say it. He disperses knowledge. Look at the contrast of, but the heart of the fool does not do so. You know, there's people who know stuff and it's they spew out their knowledge like a flamethrower. They use their knowledge to impress people. Look how smart I am. Instead of using their knowledge to build others up. That is the key. To use your knowledge to benefit somebody else, not to show, oh, I'm much smarter than you, or I'm much wiser than you, or you're so stupid. Use your knowledge to build up. It gives life. Let's see. Verse 7. The heart of the righteous studies, verse 28, how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. What does it mean the heart of the righteous studies how to answer? What does that mean? You guys are doing it right now. You're thinking about what you're going to say. Think before you speak. Do you ever do that? Do I ever do that? Not all the time. Sometimes I say stuff and it's like the dumbest stuff in the world. I'm not thinking before I'm speaking. Sometimes I'll say stuff. Let me give you a hint about myself. I'm a very opinionated person. I have my opinions. But you know what? Not everybody needs to know my opinions. Not all my opinions are the law, right? It's just I like blue and you like red. It doesn't matter. And see, the righteous studies how to answer. There's a situation that's happening. Maybe your opinion or your answer really doesn't matter. Or you need to think about, if I say this, how would it affect the other person? There's many times I've hurt people's feelings because I said what I was thinking instead of thinking before saying. You don't think the ramifications of what your word or how your words will be, taken. That's important. First of all, I'm going to give you three things to think about when you consider saying something. Is my speech offensive? Is it offensive? Is it full of cuss words? Yes, I know Christian kids cuss. I've heard them. I've heard Christian adults cuss. And to my shame, I've cussed as a believer. But, before I came to know the Lord, boy, I what they used to call me? Frankie Foulmouth. I was really bad until my friend pointed out the scripture to me and said, put all filthy language out of your mouth. And I repented greatly. But we got to be careful in how we speak. Is our speech offensive? Is your speech or is my speech a blessing or encouraging to others? Ask yourself, if I say this, is this going to be encouraging or will it be a blessing? Okay? And finally, does my speech honor God? Bless you. Does it honor God? I mean, we don't think in those terms, do we? And, this is challenging to me because I like to talk. And I like opinions and stuff. And so I have to, cage the things that I say. Well, now let's look at our motivation. We want to honor God. And you know what? God hears every word. Let's look at verse 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. Let's look at verse 11. Hell and destruction are before the Lord, so how much more the hearts, the sons of men? Well, in Matthew, Jesus said something very interesting. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it to you. Matthew chapter 12. He writes, or says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And you mentioned that a while ago. A good man out of the treasures of his heart spring forth good things. And an evil man of the evil treasure brings out evil things. But I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give it account on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. God takes our speech very seriously. For some who reject God, I don't need God, blah, blah, blah. Who needs God? On judgment day, God's going to probably play. Remember when you said all this? Well, I'm going to give you your heart's desire. You didn't want me, so therefore I never knew you. But if our words are full of blessing and glory to God, God's going to say, well, there's this verse in I think it's Malachi 3:16. And it's one of my favorite verses. And it's God telling the prophet Malachi, he says, you know what? I hear the people who love me talk about me. And you know what I do, Malachi? Those things that you write, I write it down in my diary. Sam said this about me. Oh, this is glorious. And he writes it down in a book of remembrance. That Bible study you guys showed up on November 5th, was it 4th, 2007? They were talking about me and they were thinking about me. This is awesome. He writes it down in his book of remembrance. And so God will take into judgment every idle word. And so our words should be measured. They should be thought of because we want to honor God. And so let's move on. Our tongues can be a benefit to our well-being. Let's look at verse 23 and then 31 through 33. Do you realize that your speech can be a blessing? I mean, to yourself, have you ever, you know, gave the right answer and you're like, wow, that was cool. You know, it could be in a test, you know, you answered it right. It's like I had this chemistry test about a week or so ago, and, you know, I was happy because I knew some of the answers. I didn't do really good on it, but I was happy I knew some of the answers. And let's look at verse 23. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. The joy of the tongue. When we speak in a manner that brings glory to God, it brings joy to our hearts. Why do you think? You alluded to a clue. What does language reveal about us, you said?
It reveals who you are and if you're right with God.
Yeah. And Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth, what? Speaks. So if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the things of God, and did you know that the joy of the Lord is our strength? God wants to give you joy that transcends happenstance or things that are happening in your life. That's where happiness comes from. Happiness is a byproduct of what's happening in your life. But joy transcends that. It's a byproduct of your relationship with God. And so the world can be really sucking right now, but you can have joy in it because you have a relationship with God, because you know that God loves you and you know that you're going to heaven and you know that God cares everything about you. That's joy. And here, the joy, a man has joy by the answer because he's filled with God. How do you do that? Well, first of all, you could pray, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit, and believe it by faith. Fill your heart with the word and the knowledge of God. How can you be joyful about God if you know nothing about him? Right? If God is a stranger. Or as the old song a long time ago, if God were one of us, he's another slob on the bus. You know, no. God became one of us, and he wants to have fellowship with us. He wants to be our friend. He wants to transform our hearts, our lives. He wants us to see his power work. What great joy that is. So, in talking in a manner that brings glory to God, again, a wise person hears first, then speaks. Aren't you glad God didn't give you two mouths? Can you imagine if you had two mouths? You'd probably be saying one thing in one mouth and contradicting yourself with the other mouth. But God gave us two ears so we can hear twice as good, so that we can take it in more than what we output, so we can consider what's said before we speak. Again, a wise person has a discerning heart, knowing when to speak. Let's look at verse 31. The joy of the ear. The ear that hears the rebuke of life will abide among the wise. He who disdains instruction despises his own soul, but he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. The fear of the Lord is instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. The joy of the year. Now, this is a person who hears instruction and learns. Look at verse 31. The ear that hears the rebuke of life will abide among the wise. When you are corrected, try not to be offended. You know, sometimes we don't like to be told that we're wrong. But we need to hear instruction. You know, we have some athletes in this room. When coach is telling you you're doing something wrong, don't get mad at coach. Hear what he has to say. Listen to his instruction because it'll make you a better ball player, right? That's the goal. When you get older and you get your job and your boss says, oh, you're doing it wrong. You got to do it like this. Don't be offended and mad at the boss. Take in what he has to say and learn from it. You know, a real life experience for me was I worked for this guy and he had a very perverse mouth. I did something and I did it wrong and he had a bad temper. And he cussed me out and yelled at me. And instead of being offended, I separated all the garbage, the tone, the words, the stuff, and took what he was trying to communicate, to learn to be a better employee, to learn from my mistakes. And consequently, I became better at what I did because this guy was really good at what he does. So learn to try to separate that. And I know sometimes it's difficult, but the wise learns from a rebuke. He hears the rebuke of life and abides among the wise. Also, you know, look for everything as an opportunity to learn. Look for your mistakes as an opportunity to learn. You make a mistake, learn from it. You know, it's even wiser. Learn from the mistakes of others. I reject the notion that you have to experience everything in life yourself to learn from it. I think that's stupid. I don't have to jump in the fire to discover that it's hot. I can learn from observation. Learn from the lives of others. When I was young, I observed that doing drugs is destructive. I saw what it did to certain people that I grew up with, and I learned quickly, this is not for me. I knew some very talented people that I went to school with, and they went the way of drugs and alcohol, and it led to destruction. Learn from that. You don't have to follow in the footpaths of those who are making wrong decisions. Learn from it. Be wise. Be wise, really. And so, learn from that. And bad hearing comes to the person who does not receive correction, but resists it. You want to hear the voice of God? Yeah, well, I think we all want to hear the voice of God. Well, learn to obey God. Obey what he revealed in his word. You'll be able to hear what he says in your heart. Get that in you. And so we conclude. As we walk with Jesus on our journey here on earth, let us learn from him by filling our hearts with the words of God. Because when we fill our hearts with the words of God, what's going to come out of our heart? The words of God. Through your mouth. Your speech will be edifying. It'll be honoring God. Well, I want to give you three applications to think about, take home. If anything, you know, as I always say in these applications, if there's anything that you learn, take these three things with you. First one is fill your heart with God's words. Memorize scripture. But not just memorize it, think about what it says. Think about it. God, how can I apply this in my situation? I have this problem at school or at home. How can I use these verses to transform me? Second thing is be slow to speak and quick to listen. Be slow to speak and quick to listen. Hear what's said. Sometimes, and you know, and I'm a parent, and this is hard because, you know, I'm Almighty Dad, think all-knowing, all-seeing, knows everything. Sometimes I need to do that with my kids. I need to be quick to listen and slow to speak to hear the whole story. They say assuming is the lowest form of communication. Assuming is saying you already know the story before you hear the whole story. So be slow to speak and quick to listen. And finally, it ties into it, think before you speak. Think before you speak. Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you and we praise you for your great goodness. And we thank you that you care about us so much that you want to fill us with your words and your joy. We thank you for your kindness. I pray, Lord, that our words will be wells of clean water, wells that brings forth life, wells that edifies and builds up the body of Christ, that our speech would make us so distinctive that people would thirst for what is in us, and that is you, Jesus. Let that be true to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.